Excuse me. Hey, boys. Yeah, you. Yeah. Got something to say? Share it with the whole class.
Hello and welcome to The Back of the Class, a guide to education from the kids at the back of the class. Thank you for those people who have chosen to follow us on both our blog as well as our podcast. We can be found on iTunes by searching for The Back of the Class, and we can be reached via email at thebackoftheclass@yahoo.com. As I mentioned, we have a new blog. That's thebackoftheclass.blogspot.com. So where we'll be linking to things we talk about on the show and generally making a nuisance of ourselves. We'd love
to send it to Simon.
Yeah. We'd love to hear your feedback on what we can change, what we can improve, and how we can expand the conversations that we're having. As always, in each week on our show, one of us brings an educational resource into the discussion. We spend about 20 minutes discussing it, trying to focus on specific solutions to the problems that education faces. And then we spitball. That's the part of the show where the two people who didn't bring the material get to talk bad about the person who did. I am Patrick O'Shea, the Assistant Professor of Instructional Technology at Appalachian State University. Joining me, as always, is Simon Richmond, a technology associate at the Educational Development Center, and Daniel Curry Corcoran, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Glad to be here.
That was a good one.
Can you tell that I didn't have a lot of energy to put into that this evening?
We can tell that by your selection this week.
Yes. As always, Danny, if I just put – maybe if I had love in the title of it.
It would have probably done a little bit better.
I'm sure, yeah.
Can no hurt.
So tonight I brought in the topic, and I think this is a very interesting topic.
And I would like a thorough summary.
I'm prepared to give a thorough summary.
How do you summarize something that's only a page?
You point to the link.
Well, there's like – never mind.
Tonight we're going to be talking about the Thiel Fellowship. This is T-H-I-E-L. According to the website, the Thiel Foundation, quote-unquote, defends and promotes freedom in all its dimensions, political, personal, and economic, by supporting innovative scientific research and new technologies that empower people to improve their lives, by championing organizations and individuals who expose human rights abuses and authoritarianism in all its guises, and by encouraging the exploration of new ideas and new spaces where people can be less reliant on government and where freedom can flourish.
You see Simon, he's like...
All I heard was the yeah. cat coming in. I don't know what that was.
What was that? Was that sound?
Cat. It was a little cat.
Oh, it was a cat. Oh, okay.
Right.
So am I supposed to be mad at this article? Is that the position I've been given?
No, I would just thank you for, you know, with your authoritarian attack on teachers the other week, I just thought, you know.
Oh, all right, yeah.
But we're not here to necessarily speak about the foundation itself, which I'd never heard of before I came across this program. We're here to talk about the Thiel Fellowships, which is a series of $100,000 awards given to 20 people under 20 to further, quote, their innovative scientific and technical ideas. Now, reading through this, the press release for the Thiel Fellowships, they talk a lot about, quote, unquote, stopping out of school because, quote, education seeks to impart past knowledge. When you are trying to create a technological breakthrough, you have to create new knowledge, and there is no way to teach that, unquote. So in essence, they're paying these kids under 20 to either drop out of college or high school. That's presumably anyone with a good enough idea, if they were 16 years old, would be paid $100,000 to drop out and pursue that.
Yes, please.
You have to come up with a good idea first, Dave.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I knew there was a catch.
Yeah. And it's been a long time since you were under 20. So I thought this was interesting, and I wasn't quite sure what to make of this, because the idea of paying kids to kind of go into the public sector and get rid of the private sector and giving them resources to try to do that. It's interesting to me, but I'm trying to figure out if the best approach is to just skip out of college if you have a good enough idea. So, at this point, I think I'll turn it over to Simon to see how he feels about this. What are your thoughts, Simon?
Yeah, I'm so conflicted about this. It has, like, my favorite thing and my least favorite thing combined.
Canadians and Americans?
So, along with the money comes a mentorship of, I guess, some of the Thiel partners. They're offering, employment opportunities, support, training, and advice on how to create disruptive tech. They're giving all this stuff away because they don't think that there's any better teacher than the real world. That was another quote in there. So that's great. I'm in full support of hands-on experiences, and I wish schools could do a better job of providing them. But why under 20? Why? You know what this just sounds like? It just sounds like they're trying to grab the good ideas before anybody else gets them. So we can – because they're investors, right? This is the PayPal guy. This is PayPal money. And then he went and invested in Facebook. And
PayPal guy.
He's making money off of this. That's the only reason I can think. He talks about the world can't wait for your idea. It's too late if you finish school. Get it out now. That's just hype.
Well, there's no discussion of who owns the intellectual property to these inventions. I would imagine that the person who invents it would own the intellectual property.
No, of course.
This isn't kind of a startup seed. This is presented as if it's just a grant.
I'm not saying that if you accept his money, you've sold your soul to the devil. I'm just saying the only reason that I can think that he's marketing himself to the under 20. That whole crowd is that because nobody else is kind of mining them, and that there are bright minds out there, and he's trying to get a jump on it. Hmm. I'm just kind of cynical about that.
You cynical? The most cynical Baha'i I know.
Well, let's ask Danny. How do you feel about this? What's the bad stuff you can say?
Well, no, other than your summary. Which sucked. But anyway.
Yeah. Maybe I should have waited until the end.
Maybe. Maybe that would have been better. One of the things about this idea of people under 20, I mean, I just really read that as, once you get out of college, you tend to get married, have kids. I think people with families are less likely to quit their jobs and, go for their dreams. I mean, I just thought as being 20, you just have a lot of opportunity to do those type things. So, but I mean, I think it gets back to what's the purpose of education, right? And I have I have the same problem with like the NBA. I mean, I can see the NFL, but where the NBA says, before you come play in the NBA, you have to do a year of college ball. I just don't understand these type of formulas they try to use. The purpose of education or high school or college education is to prepare somebody for the workforce, whether that is a vo-tech career, or being a plumber or being an academic. And I don't understand if I can play 2 years of high school and do a 360 and dunk a basketball, which unfortunately I was never able to do, why am I not allowed to go make millions of dollars playing in the NBA? I mean, high school was preparing me for my career. My career was to play basketball and make millions of dollars. Well, if I have the opportunity to leave school and pursue a career that is going to be a good idea and making $100,000, why wouldn't I take advantage of that? I mean,
but the same could be said.
Why continue dealer? Just to get the degree? I don't understand. The purpose is to get this degree, and I don't understand what the piece of paper does for you. It's what you're supposed to be working towards.
Do you agree with this quote where he says there is no way to teach new knowledge? Education is about past knowledge. There's no way to teach new knowledge. Is that true?
Well, no, I don't. I think, what the purpose of education is to foster critical thinking and, experimentation and project learning. I mean, all of this is creating those neural connections, if you'll say that, that allow people to come up with new ideas. I think it's the experience of education. It's not really what you're learning. I mean, if you're in education and you're creating products or working on things, you know, collaborating, critical thinking, you know, producing different materials. But I don't think our educational system is typically structured to do that. Typically, we're working on content or strands. We're not really trying to build the better mousetrap, so
See,
to speak.
The reason that this interested me at all is because I'm a firm believer that education is most institutions of education, colleges and high schools and those sorts of institutions, are aiming directly at the medium student. They're aimed to help the medium student succeed, and they don't do a very good job of doing much for the very low performing students or the very high performing students.
I disagree with you. I'd say those middle level kids are the kids that are forgotten, because you know the higher level kids are going to learn despite anything we do to try to stop them. Right? These
but
kids
that's,
are.
That's not what the research shows. They have
the research.
Dropouts. Yeah, but they have high dropout rates.
I have that book.
They have high dropout rates, just like low performing students have a high dropout.
What
rate.
Research are you reading?
I'll put
Appalachian
some,
State.
Listen, talk bad all you want about whatever institutions you want to feel bad about. But I'll put the research that I'll find some and I'll put it up on the blog and people can make a decision for themselves.
I mean, I think the focus. I mean, being the only one that being the focus of most, I would say, and I am not reading the research. I haven't bought that journal yet. The research. The idea is that schools are usually really focused on those kids who are college-minded, you know, those college preparatory kids that are going to do your APs and go on, or those high-need students where you are really pumping a lot of money to get these kids up to minimum, you know, minimum standard. It's the middle kid that's the BC student that's kind of just, you know, coming to school and not making much of a ruckus that there's not a lot of attention put to, I would say.
Maybe this just demonstrates the difference between us. Maybe you were that middle student, and I was the high-performing student. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe it is.
No. I know both you guys too well to believe either of those positions.
Are you saying we're both low-performing?
Yes.
Those fighting words, Canadian. What I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted was that I tend to believe that the most innovative kids are not served very well by schools. They can't fit into the kind of standard mold of what's acceptable, and so they kind of nobody knows what to do with them. And so,
who are these kids again? These kids are who?
These are the high performing students. These are the really very creative students.
The tag kids.
Yes. These are
the one in a million? The one in.
Yeah, the one in a million. There's only money for 20 of them in the whole of America.
Yeah, it's 20 under 20 of high school kids.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Our next grant opportunity.
What I'm saying is that I don't think schools deal with creativity very well. I don't think teachers deal with creativity very well. I think there's lots of lip service paid to wanting creativity and critical thinking and all those other things. But the minute that a student actually demonstrates creativity, they're knocked back into place because it doesn't fit the rubric or something like that. All right? There's very rare teachers who will say, oh, sure, go off the boundaries. Do what you want. Defend your positions, you know?
Is that in the research, or is this?
I'll put articles up about that as well, Danny. If you want to see them.
Well, in that case, Patrick, do you believe that the Thiel Foundation has an answer here? That they're going to be able to give the skills and the assistance that the American public school hasn't been able to do?
They have a different approach to the skills.
How do you know that? We don't know what their approach is. They're just saying, here's $100,000. Come talk to us.
And a mentorship with people who have experience in this kind of development.
Of the best and brightest. I mean, I would argue that these 20 things right here, these 20 kids, I mean, there was, and I actually cannot pull up the research, but I was doing some reading. It was probably from Yahoo or something. I'm a Yahoo connoisseur of their news blog. But, I mean, the idea of all these tech kids, right, these kids who are coming out and, you know, the next Facebook or the next Flickr, and, you know, they're high school kids. They're coming up with all these algorithms and websites and way of, you know, social media or whatnot. And, you know, they're 10th, 11th grade. You know, they're millionaires. They've already sold three companies, right? And, you know, there was this one Korean girl, and her parents were like, you have to stay in school. But, you know, she had already sold two companies, she and her brother, and were worth millions. I mean, are those the 20-year-olds that he's talking about, the 20 under 20? I mean, these kids are out there. I mean, I don't know. It just seemed, what, are you going to take the 20 best and brightest and give them 100,000? I mean,
I think
that's not really challenging.
I think
I could do that today. Go ahead.
If you had
$100,000.
If you had $2 million.
Yeah. Maybe some of our followers would want to set up a foundation where I could pick 20.
What this really says is that these guys have no faith in higher education, that the whole American university system, because they're not really talking about high schoolers here. I mean, yes, that would potentially fall within the realm of possibility, but it's more likely college kids. So they're saying higher ed stinks. They're saying you can't teach new knowledge, how to acquire new knowledge, which I think is bogus. The whole point of academia is to acquire new knowledge. And they're really saying, it's just the hubris of it all that gets me. They're saying what the world needs is more guys like us, child geniuses who get funded and then bring revolutionary ideas to the tech market. So we're going to go out and self-propagate. And I'm just not sure that that's, I mean, that's not really what the world necessarily needs.
Danny, why don't you tell us what the world needs?
Danny?
He's making fun of you again. The one practical example that they come up with, he mentions a pedal-powered generator for African cell phones. Wouldn't the world be better off if a guy invented that? Well, yeah, it would be. But the guy who says that is the head of an artificial intelligence institute. He's not inventing pedal-powered cell phone things. No one here is really addressing world problems. They're just throwing innovative ideas into the Western capital markets. This is all about generating IPOs.
Profit. It's about generating profit. They want to find the next Facebook and get it cheap.
See, but that's, I mean, we can sit here and be skeptical and minimize this, but in reality, the proof is in the pudding. 2 years from now, we'll see what ideas come
your
from
platitude.
This.
Yes.
What platitude would you rather I use, Danny?
None.
You'd rather? Okay. We will see in 2 years.
Well, I would rather they take that money and throw it into revising the system. Why don't they start funding an experimental schools district? Why don't they set up
$2 million is not going to do anything.
Why don't they set up a tech incubation lab for that duplicates university training? But takes on a new approach to it.
Here's what, you know, let's say of these 20 ideas, 10 really come off big, right? I bet you there will be 200 ideas that come off big next year from other kids under 20 that were not funded through this program. Because these kids are going to do it regardless whether they get $100 now or they develop, you know, a Pandora-type system for videos. I mean, there's going to be 10 kids out there, so I'm not really sure what this program is really doing.
Why not incentivize?
Besides giving a nice startup grant, that's great. I mean, I don't have anything to argue against it. I just
you don't.
Well, no, I mean, not really. I mean, I think it's a great idea, but I don't really. I mean, let's give 20 kids $100,000. Fantastic. I mean, I'd apply for it if I was under 20, but as you so. So said, I am not.
So eloquently said.
My ideas are worth nothing now.
All right. Okay, well, maybe at this point we should start the spitball.
All right.
let's get started.
Actually, normally this is where we would put Mark's minute, but he didn't submit anything this week.
Oh, he has no rant for us this week?
He has no rant for us this week. So from now on, whenever we get
Simon,
a Mark's
do you know about Mark's minute?
No, it's news to me.
From now on, Yeah, from that's because he doesn't actually listen to the podcast.
Do you guys go back and listen to this?
No, no.
Wow.
I just like you to log on to the blog and post something every once in a while. But I know I'm asking a lot.
Yeah. Maybe you could follow us.
Sonny. I don't know how to type.
Maybe we can get some 20-year-old to invent a self-typing machine. before we get into the Mark's Minute discussion and the spitballing, I'd like to take a second to defend this.
Wait a minute! There's never selection. Any room in the program for defense.
The host gets to defend his own article.
No, you've. I mean, I.
Excuse me.
I'm not. Then let me rephrase. I'm not defending anything.
Rephrase? There's no opportunity in the program for rephrasing.
I'm not defending anything here.
You've already had your chance to summarize.
Yeah, that's all I get to do. Summarize.
Daniel, just let him talk because he'll go back and add his voice in anyway.
No, I would never do that. I might take Danny's voice out, but I would never add my own in. I didn't bring this article to the discussion because I necessarily agree wholeheartedly with this. I think that it's interesting that people are trying to do different things with education.
A lot of money.
Because they don't believe in education for whatever reason, or they think they have a better solution, or a different solution. I just think that it's interesting to discuss these kinds of potentials. So go ahead, knock me down for right.
What is the potential throwing a lot of money at a problem? Have you? I think you need to watch the South Park episode where they have Magic Johnson and the whole AIDS issue where they just throw money at it. I don't know. Well,
it's not exactly the $800 million that Sudhatra Mitra was looking for.
Can we bring in South Park episodes to critique?
Certainly.
Yeah. Is that what Danny's going to do next week?
Apparently, yeah. I don't know. Is it Danny's turn?
And we would have a much more fruitful discussion.
Have you defended it yet?
That was my point.
Okay. Here's my spitball. This whole thing assumes that good ideas come from money, and they don't. It thinks that good ideas come from mentoring, and they don't. Good ideas come from insight, and insight comes from experience and education. So they're cutting off their nose to spite their face. They're working against the whole educational system, which is the only thing which is generating these child geniuses that they're trying to harvest. If they want to really, they need to feed resources and new ideas back into the system if they're going to build up real game changers.
Yeah, but they don't believe in the system, so I mean.
They don't believe in the system, probably because it's served them very well not to follow it. I mean, these are guys who are saying, don't go to school, you'll get crippling amount of student debt, and yet they've made $300 million, $500 million.
Your spitball is really that you disagree with the idea that, you know, you don't think education is dead, they think education is dead.
Yeah. My spitball is that the things that they're looking for are created by the educational system that they're spiting. The second thing is that they're assuming that all the problems in the world can be solved by technology. It's, again, this whole Star Trek assumption. The future is only going to be made possible if we innovate tech. But tech just leads to more consumption. And consumption is just destructive, dysfunctional. Consumption just brings unhappiness. We don't need more tech. We need social solutions to some of the world's problems. Not bigger, better, faster, more. It's the whole German paradox.
The what?
So,
the German paradox?
The paradox that says that the more efficient and more highly advanced you create a technology, the more it consumes. It doesn't get more. It gets more efficient, which allows you to simply consume more, to buy more of them, and therefore replicate the very thing which is. The thing which you're trying to make more efficient becomes less efficient the more efficient you make it, because it becomes cheaper.
Whoa, you just blew my mind.
Wow.
And people buy it more. In other words,
three of our four followers.
Wow.
We have to, you can't solve the world's problems by becoming more efficient technologically. You have to stop the consumption.
Hey, I think someone needs to throw,
improves, increases the consumption.
I think someone needs to throw Simon a life preserver.
All right.
The guy is flailing. Anyway,
he was really good there at the beginning, and then he got off in this whole Marxist bent that
the only way to move forward is to go back, I guess.
Yeah. Can I elaborate on this? And I'm getting off topic here, but let's talk about fridges. Okay,
absolutely.
Fridges years ago ran on a lot of electricity, and they didn't make things very cold. But fridge technology has radically improved. They've consumed less energy, and they get things colder, and they've become cheaper. And you would think that this would, you know, reduce the amount of electricity consumed worldwide by fridges. But in fact, it hasn't. Instead, we all buy more fridges. There's now fridges everywhere, including hotel rooms. The old fridges that used to be in our kitchens have now been moved to the garage, where they're used to refrigerate things that don't really need refrigerating, like beer.
Moved to Africa.
Are you kidding me? Beer absolutely needs refrigerated.
You don't need a whole fridge chilling beer just running on power. In other words, as fridges got cheaper and more efficient, we just bought more of them, and they ended up consuming more of the world's resources. That's the paradox behind efficiency. Efficiency doesn't lower consumption.
Cheaper and efficiency necessarily doesn't come go hand in hand. They got cheaper. That doesn't necessarily mean they got more efficient.
So what relating back to this article, they're trying to solve the world's problems by pumping out more technology, and I don't think that's necessarily the solution. That's all. That's my point.
No. I mean, I agree with your whole social, you know, you need social change. I mean, I don't think the solution is necessarily technology, but I thought the whole article is, let's take 20 kids, let's give them $100,000 and a mentorship, and then we'll be able to market this later at a much higher price. Right? I mean, that's the view of the article is.
That's the cynical view as well.
Yeah, cynical. Well, you could say the Daniel view or the cynical view. I mean, sometimes they go lockstep.
That's redundant.
My question is this. My spitball is really for, of course, my good friend and colleague, Brett. What in the heck was this? I mean, you give me over and over and moaning about hearts and love, and you sent a website. I don't even know what to read. I'm like, should I just read the first page, or should I go through the links and find out? I mean, we've went from this scholarly research to really good, thoughtful TED presentations to an article out of a magazine, maybe not for the, you know, the researcher, but the practitioner of education, to a website. So, a website that's basically a grant competition or an ad for getting those 20 kids that want to drop out of school.
No, I've got to defend Patrick here. There was real substance. This wasn't a website. This was a new approach. This was a scathing critique of the educational system.
A scathing critique? It's five paragraphs.
Yeah, well, it's still a big idea.
Are you saying that
to
more,
do what? What is the big idea here?
So you would have been happier
pay kids
if
to
this
drop
had
out
been
of school.
You would have been happier if this same thing had been said in 10 pages?
No, but I don't understand what it was said. Basically, the idea was, you know, let's give you $100,000, okay? I get the whole idea we can't create. We've already disagreed, or at least Simon and I have disagreed, that, you know, education, you know, doesn't create new ideas. But the whole idea, it's not really a new way of looking at education. I mean, it's funding 20 kids. It's not replicable. It's not kind of even can't really do much with that. I don't understand how it's this next movement in education.
It's true.
It's critique. It's five paragraphs.
No, I changed my position. This whole thing, this whole Thiel thing is a huge spitball. It's a big spitball at the system without any kind of real solution.
Yeah, no solution. We're just going to give $100,000 because we can.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what's next? We don't have another $100,000, so these 20 kids are now making, you know, they sold their product for $2 million and got 20%, and now they have probably spent all that money and are going back to finish their college degree. Now, that was a bit cynical.
Intellectually, I don't understand your logic. You were just complaining that kids who had the skills to go straight from high school to the pros should be allowed to do that.
They should.
But now you're talking that these
kids... I don't read a five-paragraph article on that either. I mean, it's just the purpose, right? The high school and college are to prepare you for work or to prepare you to go on and lead an adult life and, you know, develop the skills you need to go out there and be a doctor or be a, you know, an EMT or a physical therapist or whatever it is. So, you know, if these kids are able to have a good idea when they're sophomores... drop out of school and get $100,000, great. They did what they needed to do in 2 years of high school.
Okay.
All right. Is that your comeback? Oh, okay.
Well, what do you want me to say? You think that there's a big difference between going a pro and getting a signing bonus of $34 million or whatever it is.
No, I'm saying there's no difference.
And getting $100,000 and expecting that'll set you up for life.
No. I'm saying there's no difference in, I mean, like, what's the point? Okay, these kids got $100,000. They were able to leave school prematurely or before graduating. Mm-hmm. Great. Fantastic. Granted, it's a little bit more of a critique of education, but it was kind of hard to discern that in the five paragraphs. I mean, I wanted a little bit more.
Okay. Well, I next time, I guess I'll send you a summary of the article as well as suggested additional readings, because maybe UVA didn't prepare you to click on links to read more about
things. You can just post them out there for me.
Yeah, that's exactly what
I will make Simon go out there and actually read them.
Maybe that's what we should do. Maybe we should post the stuff before we record this and let other people part of the discussion before we actually record. Well, anyway,
I don't have any problem. Like I said, I think you said it last week, and it wasn't much to argue with in the article that I presented. But with this, I think it's a great opportunity. I mean, let's give kids, let's see what type of, I don't necessarily, maybe it's a tech idea. Maybe it is some social different way of building cities that these kids have, that's going to help humanity. I mean, I don't really have anything to argue with the article. I just don't think it's really, there's not going to be $100,000 there every year.
Well, you don't know that. I mean, this could be a revolving thing. This could grow. This could, if you have half of these kids hit it big and throw, $2 million of their own money, then they
Well, that would have been a good piece of the article. If these kids do hit it big and they have to give back, that would have been a great piece. That would be actually be, it could replicate what they're trying to do and expand it. Which is hard to talk, it's hard to discuss that in five paragraphs.
Especially since this is press release. It's intended to be short. It's intended to tell the details of the program.
A press release. There you go. Yeah. Now you're getting in the swing of it.
It's listed as a press release. I'm not being ironical. It's a press release.
Ironical.
All right, well, anyway, we're past 30 minutes, so at this point...
Seems like only 10. Seems like we just got started.
Yeah, that's because Simon talked forever.
You look better tonight. Maybe have some hot story tonight.
Well, as always, I think tonight would have been really improved if Tasha had been able to join us instead.
She's ready. She's on standby.
Danny.
She's all about the wives getting together and doing their own podcast, so...
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, as always, Danny, it's sometimes been a pleasure.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Simon, I've enjoyed it. I'll talk to you guys later.
See you guys later.
Bye.